You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
We've been talking about this series, What's the Point? Talking about the why behind worship. You know, we have these moments and you come into the sanctuary and somebody's asking you to lift your hands, somebody's asking you to sing a song, but why? And so we're trying to fill in some of these blanks here. Why do we do what we do when it comes on to worship? Because it's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough just to join in with some of the things, but it's important to know why that we do what we do and what makes that so important. So if you've missed some of the series, you can go and you can find it on the website, hopeunited.church, and get caught up with that, or you can subscribe to our podcast. This is the fifth and final week of the series, and we've entitled the message today, Shouting at Walls. Shouting at walls. And I believe there's something very powerful that God wants to do today. Anybody believe that?
Yes.
Has anybody ever been on your journey in life or with your career where you just felt like you hit a roadblock? You know, you were starting to get some momentum going. You're starting to feel good about things in your spirit. And then all of a sudden, there's a wall. Just you hit a wall. And This is the story that happens here with Joshua and Jericho. Joshua is celebrated. He's the new leader. He's got some momentum going. And then right before he gets into the promised land, he meets this big wall called Jericho. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But before we really get into that, I want to take a couple of steps back and how did we get to this place where this immense wall was? And it starts, our story starts in Joshua 3:1. And it's a couple days earlier. And Joshua is the new leader of this newly formed nation. And they've decided, after all this wasted time in the desert, anybody ever felt like you wasted some time in the desert? I don't know about you, but I felt in my life there's been times that I was in the desert wasting time. And so for 40 years, these people are ready for some action. So they decide they're going to leave the place that they're at and go confidently to go take possession of their promise. Is anybody ready for that in your life? So they leave a place called the Acacia Grove, but for those that are really, truly spiritual, I'm going to use the Hebrew, which is Shittim. And you have to sometimes leave Shittim behind to get where you need to go. Amen. Can somebody give me an amen? Sometimes you got to leave Shittim behind so you can get to your promise. Too many people trying to live in Shittim and you're not going to get to your purpose. It's okay. It's in the Bible. Turn to somebody and say, you got to leave Shittim behind. Okay. So they leave Shittim behind and they cross the Jordan. See, I had to make sure that you're awake today. See, now everybody's awake. Turn to somebody and say, you're awake now. They cross the Jordan and they're headed into their promise. But Joshua 5:2, Joshua gets up and he makes this important announcement. He says, everybody needs to be circumcised. Now, this is important because before you go into battle, you have to check that your heart is right. You need to do a heart check. In the New Testament, circumcision was synonymous with the condition of your heart. Where is your heart at? And you don't want to go into this next season of your life, this next chapter, this next battlefield with your heart not right. Because the heart is significant of what emotions are unresolved or what thoughts are going on in your head. And if you're not mentally stable and you're not emotionally stable, how can you enter and be productive on the battlefield? So Joshua said, I'm not going to go into battle with people that aren't circumcised. Everybody needs to be circumcised. Look at somebody say, you have to be circumcised. I want to take a look at what circumcision means. Three things I think that's very important for us to understand about circumcision. Before you start trying to take on your wall, before you start thinking about shouting at your wall, before you think about taking action, let's take a look at circumcision. This is what it means. Number one, it's the condition of your heart towards God. Can I tell you, if you've got issues going on in your heart, your relationship can't be right with God. You can't be where you need to be with God if you're holding things in your heart towards other people. True. With unforgiveness in your heart, it's going to be difficult to have the relationship that you need to have with God. So it's important to have this moment, this season, this circumcision. And number two, circumcision is significant of cutting away that which does not belong. It doesn't matter who you are. There's some stuff in your life. There's some flesh in your life that the Holy Spirit's going to come and say, I want to take a look at that. We need to take that out. We need to remove that. That's not going to help you on the way to your purpose. We need to cut that away. And sometimes that hurts. Sometimes it hurts to cut some of the old man away. Yeah. Saying, you know, I'm comfortable with this. I'm used to this. But God, with God, it's not always what's comfortable. It's what's best for us. And so there's this portion of circumcision that's the cutting away, which does not belong. And number three, covenant is significant of covenant. Covenant. When I go into battle, I want to go into battle with somebody that's in covenant. I don't want somebody trying to watch my back that's flaky. I need somebody that's a covenant brother or sister. If you're not a covenant brother or sister, it's not good to go into battle with people that you don't know where they stand with their relationship with the Lord. You don't know where they stand with you. It could be over here. It could be over there. Joshua said, I'm not going into battle with anybody that's not circumcised, that hadn't re-upped on their covenant with God. Come on, somebody get this. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just because you had a relationship with God 40 years ago that it's still good right now. You got to re-up. And Joshua said, before we go into battle, you need to re-up. Hallelujah. I'll give an amen to myself on that. Okay. It's about our commitment to God. And when we know that we're committed and in covenant with God, we know that we can be in covenant and committed to each other. You see, if your commitment and your covenant to God is on a shaky foundation, how can I be confident about our relationship with each other and our covenant? Because our covenant is founded on the covenant that we have with God. So Joshua says, listen, first you need to make sure that you have your covenant right with God. Then I know that we can have covenant and we can be confident in the fact we'll be victorious. And this is very important because we have to know that we're in covenant because we're going to come up against stuff that seem insurmountable. Some accounts of Jericho said that it seemed like the walls just reached the sky. And it was actually... some archaeologists theorized that it was actually a wall in two different tiers. It was actually two walls. It was like a wall and then an elevation and a secondary wall. So we're talking about a wall system that they were looking at. An immense fortress. And so maybe you came into the season expecting one type of battle and you walked into an all-out war. I'm not exactly sure what Joshua and the children of Israel were expecting on the other side of the Jordan. But when they crossed the Jordan and saw those Jericho walls, there might have been some other stuff running through their heads. Right. And that's the way it is in our lives. Sometimes we think, oh, well, it's going to be a scrap, but I can do this. And then we get into the battle and say, what did I get myself into? And we're staring at those Jericho walls. But I want to tell you about the power of praise. Can we talk about the power of praise? Because there will be walls in the path of your promise. And you have a choice. You can either confront those walls or you can walk away. You can confront your fears or you can walk away. You can confront your giants or you can walk away. We have a decision to make when we come up to walls.
Hello, everyone. Hello. I believe denial does not change reality. A lot of times we're faced with things, and I think for some of us, our immediate reaction is, well, I'm just going to pretend it's not there, because it feels more comfortable to ignore it than to actually deal with it. But the truth is that sometimes there is a roadblock in our path that we're completely capable of dismounting if we pause, stop, and ask God for direction.
Right.
But I find sometimes we're so much just running hard, and when we see something, we say, oh my goodness, this looks so big. What am I going to do right now? But I had the chance to talk with Pastor Tommy Tinney when we had gone to Columbia, and he said something I will never forget. It was such a pearl of wisdom. He said, you have to know the difference between facts, fear, and faith. Because they can get all muddled together, thank you. And the truth is, if we look at this story and we look at it in that light, the fact was that there was a wall. There was a wall. It existed. Fear, I'm sure, probably said to them when they came and they left where they came from and they see this and they're like, whoa, what are we going to do? Maybe we should turn back. That voice was not faith. But the truth is that then Joshua remembered the word that God spoke to him, that what God promised him, that he was going to give him the land. And so he stops. And actually, the real scripture says, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. And I like this other scripture that comes up, that's on Joshua 6, 4 through 5. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you're to march around the town seven times with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest, give one long blast on the ram's horns to have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. He stopped and asked God for directions, and God gave him the directions on how to dismount the obstacle that is in front of him. If we can just learn that simple lesson, when stuff comes up, when we feel that we are against this incredible mountain in our lives, and I want you to really apply this practically. When you've received a doctor's report, when you see stuff is going down with your finances, when a relationship of yours that you really love is having problems, when you're in the middle of a crisis, if you can pause, find your place of peace, remember who God is to you. Remember the promises that he's given you. You can move forward in confidence, knowing that he's with you. It doesn't always feel like you're confident. Like I said, sometimes fear will talk, but you have to put that thing in its place. We have to put that thing in its place. There's a few different responses we can have when we reach a roadblock.
So when we hit this roadblock, we can either give up and walk away. We can lose our resolve and do that. We can, number two, we can pretend there is no wall. There's nothing spiritual about pretending that something is not going on, okay? If you've got pain in your body, it's all right to open up your mouth and say, I've got pain in my body. But God can do this. But God is this. So it's not spiritual to say there is no wall. Number three, we can fight with the wrong strategy.
Right.
I think so often we can give a valiant attempt. We can fight with ferocity. But if we're fighting with the wrong weapon, we're going to lose. And fourth, we can fight with the strategy of the Lord. And that's where it's a game changer. I love in Joshua 6 when they begin to walk. And God said, walk around the walls for 7 days. Can I tell you, with every step of faith that you take, it weakens the enemy's defenses. Can you see that? Every time you take a step of faith, the enemy gets weaker. And so as I am moving forth in boldness, as I'm taking, putting one foot in front of the other, as hard or as difficult as it is, I'm making faith steps, faith steps, faith steps, faith steps, faith steps around the walls of my circumstance. The walls are getting weaker. With every step, the walls are getting weaker. It doesn't matter how thick the walls are. It doesn't matter how high the walls are. It doesn't matter what type of blockade you have against your dream, against your promise. When you faithfully make those faith steps, can I tell you, those walls are eventually gonna come down. I love this. I love this because as we're walking, that wall is getting weaker and weaker. You know, before current military engineers knew this, God knew this. And he said, begin to walk together in unity. Begin to walk with the same type of steps. You know, in when they move with armies, that there's certain structures that they won't cross and walking in formation because it would weaken the structure. If they marched or if they even walked in the same steps. But God knew that before then. If we begin to walk and we're synchronized in our faith, we're taking the same faith steps at the same time. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, even the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. When a unified church begins to step, faith steps around the walls that are holding us back, can I tell you that they're going to fall? They're going to come down. And that's what's so very powerful. The very gates, the very authority, the very power of the enemy comes down when we take faith steps together. That's what is so powerful about a unified church. You know, there's a power in when you take faith steps, and there's a multiplied power when we take faith steps together.
I think it's not a mistake that our name has united in it. You know, I know that God had really inspired us with that at the very beginning, but with the just everything that's been going on, I really want to talk about this for a second and just kind of pause on this point, because we're only as strong as we can be if we're unified. You know, the word says that a house divided cannot stand. Yeah. And the place that we are right now, even in our nation and the turmoil that's been going on and the situation with Hurricane Harvey. I wasn't going to use any names, but I really feel that it would be inappropriate for me not to make this point. It's so important that we stop infighting within the church. Our job is not to judge people. Our job is not to share our opinions. Yeah, we like to have a right to our opinion, but oftentimes it ends up being a judgment more than anything else. Our responsibility is to care for ourselves. And I believe that when you have a platform, you have a magnifying glass on your life. You don't always make the best decisions, but let me tell you something. I've learned to be real slow at casting stones, real slow at casting judgment on people when you don't know all the variables, you don't know all the things. It's not our job to tear people down. We don't need to be doing that right now. We don't need to be showing people, well, they're turning on themselves. Right now, we need to be showing unity. We need to be showing hope. We need to be showing love. I didn't say the name, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Guys, we got to show love to each other. We got to show that now we're not ready to hang somebody the minute that something goes wrong or that the media starts saying something. And it's just so important that if we want to truly be effective in the community and outside of the four walls, that we be seen less as an organization of judgmentalism and more as an organization of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and grace. So let me back that with scripture. Because I think it's so important we remind ourselves of these things. If we don't remind ourselves of what the word says, we can get so far off. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So guys, let's measure our own life, okay, with our own walk and with the word, and that's what makes the difference. We are stronger when we are unified.
I think such a strength when we are together and when we're consistent. God said for 7 days, 7 days, go around, march around, walk around, take faith steps around the wall that's in your life. I think oftentimes we're not being consistent with what God has given us to do. And that's why we're not seeing walls come down in our lives, is we're not consistently taking faith steps. God didn't just say, take a faith step, walk around the walls one time. He said, no, for 7 days, make it a consistent thing. Worship is something that's consistent. It's not something that's seasonal. It's not something that, man, woo, I feel the Spirit today, I'm going to worship. It's something that I've decided in my heart, worship is who I am. And I'm going to consistently, day in, day out, I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to worship, because it's not what I'm doing, it's who I am becoming.
That's right.
I'm becoming the worship that brings down walls. I'm not an occasional worshiper. Worshiping is who I am. That's my home base. That is my identity in Christ. I am a worshiper.
I think the principle for this is being consistent in something over time will give you authority in it.
Yeah.
When worship is conditional, it's superficial. This is truth. When worship is conditional, it's superficial. It's if I'm feeling up to it, if something is going great for me, I'm going to worship, I'm going to give thanks. And that's not a true relationship. I know, I think about our marriage. I think about when anybody gets married and you say vows, you're basically saying, no matter what happens, you know, in sickness and in health, you know, for rich or for poor, you're saying through the mountains and through the valleys, we're going to stick together. And we're going to walk through this together, whatever comes our way. It's the same thing with God. It's a covenant. It's a relationship that says, when stuff hits the fan, when things go wrong, I'm still going to be thankful. I'm still going to be, declaring that God is a good God. Because the enemy's whole agenda is to get us so frustrated and to get so disillusioned that then we begin to say, you know what, maybe it's not for me. Maybe God isn't who he says he is. I've not seen God work in my life like this. But that, a lot of times, those things are so distracts. Like, they're just distractions, excuse me. But we have to remember, if we're in a covenant relationship, we need to be consistent with what we do. Okay, another point I wanted to make, have you ever spoken, I'm sure we have all had somebody we've spoken to, that they seem to be an expert on a particular subject, or maybe everything. You know, they project this. I know so many things about so many things. And then when the more that they talk, you realize they do not have authority in that area. They might know all the jargon, all the lingo, the right things to say, but they don't have the authority. That's the missing link. When we're living a lifestyle that's consistent with worship, there's a growth that happens in us. There's this maturity. I remember this when Prophet Kathy Lechner had prophesied over us after Esperanza had her surgery. I remember she said, it's almost like your spirit had aged. It's almost like it aged you. And I was like, man, I hadn't been able to articulate it. And when she said that, I said, wow, you know, I had the things that we've gone through that have been difficult in our lives together with God have produced something within us that was not there before. And I believe that when you can see, that's only produced if you stick it through. It's just like, you know, anything in life. If you stick to it hard enough, if you apply yourself and you push through, those of you that have gone to school for a really long time and have gotten your degree and you stuck through to it, and at the end you have this diploma and you felt accomplished and you felt like, oh my goodness, I finally did it, and you have this experience, you have this authority in that area, you can encourage others that are going through school, and you can apply that in different areas of life. When you press through, you become an expert in that area. You become somebody that can speak life to others. So when you have consistent worship, then when you are praising and you make a declaration, these walls are coming down. There's actually authority behind it, and stuff starts to happen because you have the authority. Amen. Superficial worship will equal superficial results. That's it.
I could just see this group of people coming out of the wilderness, and they have enough is an enough attitude. This is it. I'm done with waiting. Is there anybody here that's where you're at today? I am done with wait. I'm done with the desert season. I'm done with 40 years in the wilderness. I'm done with it. I got a I'm done with it attitude. Anybody got an I'm done with it attitude? So they come out here, and there's something that's different in the candor of your voice when enough is enough. Anybody heard that tone in your mother's voice when enough was enough? Anybody ever had that tone in your voice when you had just, you're done messing with the devil? You're done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. And this group of people must have just been like, I am done waiting. I'm ready for the promise that we were supposed to have 40 years ago. This is now. I'm not waiting one more moment. This is my season right now. Will you stand up with me? Because there's something that I want to do. Because I believe there's something that God is initiating in the spirit right now. And come on, band. I need a little bit of help here, because I believe there's some things that God wants to do in our lives, but we have to have an enough is enough attitude. Look at somebody, say, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. And so in my spirit, I have a different resolve that says, you know what? I'm about to lift up a shout. And my shout in this season is going to bring down walls. I don't know what your walls look like today. I don't know if your walls are financial in nature. I don't know if your walls are family situations in nature. I don't know if they're health situations. But I'm looking at a people that I think are ready to lift up a shout and say, enough is enough. Because I'm ready to walk into my promise. I'm ready to walk into what my blessing is. I'm ready to walk. And I'm not ready to just turn back and go to the wilderness yet. I've already spent 40 years there. I've already been struggling with this circumstance. I've already been struggling with this problem. But now is the time that I'm ready to stand and shout. I've made a faith step. I've made a faith step. I've made a faith step. And now I'm at the point that I'm either going to lift up a shout or I'm going to go home. I'm either going to lift up a shout or I'm going to go back to Shittim. I'm ready for something that God promised me. I'm ready to walk into the promise. And I understand that it's going to come by a forceful praise. It's not going to come by being complacent. It's not going to come by playing it safe. It's not going to come by staying in the same place I was last year. It's not going to come by doing the same thing I did earlier this year. But it's going to be coming by
putting my feet down, by setting myself and beginning to lift up a praise like I never have before, beginning to open up my mouth like I never have before. This is your moment. This is your time, people of God. This is your moment to lift up a shout and to see whatever walls are going on in your life to come down. Is anybody ready to see walls come down in your life? I don't want you to be hyped in the natural. I want you to understand in the spirit that there's something about to take place.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.